Outlander's escape.
Say that again?
We were watching him in the cafeteria and waiting for the best time to take him because we didn't want to make a scene so soon after his victory over Mog.
And then?
And then a fight broke out over one of the breeders. In the confusion, the one-eyed Outlander got out of the building.
The Baron was circling the Sect Chief now, like an animal going in for the kill.
Say that last part again.
In the confusion, the Outlander got away.
You mean you let him get away?
Yes.
Grunwald's shoulders slumped with the words.
So now, an already dangerous man has even more reason to rally the slaves against us. Who's already their hero, but now he's a symbol of their own imprisonment. Isn't that right?
He won't get away!
The Baron didn't let the Sect Chief steer the conversation away from the subject of his own failing.
Isn't that right?
Grunwald lowered his head.
That's correct, Baron.
If you were in my position, what would you do about such gross incompetence?
Grunwald knew exactly what he'd do to a Sect man who screwed up. He would demote him several ranks and give him the most menial job until he was aching to prove his worth again. But of course, that wasn't even close to the way the Baron would handle such things. As a result, Grunwald said nothing, knowing it was a question he couldn't possibly answer correctly.
Oh, you can be sure I wouldn't send you to clean toilets. That might be your style, but it's not mine. You see, I happen to need a Sect Chief at the moment, more than I've ever needed one before. But I need a competent one.
Yes, Baron.
I believe you are a competent Sect Chief, Grunwald. So I'm going to give you another chance to find the one-eyed Outlander.
Grunwald seemed surprised and relieved.
Thank you, Baron.
But not before I impose a suitable punishment.
His relief short-lived, Grunwald closed his eyes, knowing that a suitable punishment from the Baron could be anything from a slap on the wrist to the removal of a limb.
On your knees, Grunwald.
Then Fox turned to Norman Bower.
My special crop, please, number one.
Norman Bower, who had been standing by silently, went to a cupboard high up on one of the walls in the office and took out the Baron's special crop. It was an electric cattle prod, thicker than his usual leather crop, and was fitted with rechargeable batteries. It could administer a powerful and painful electric shock with a single touch. Baron Fox circled the kneeling Grunwald and then touched the prod to his shoulder. Grunwald's body jumped as the room was suddenly bathed in the warm glow of electric blue. He groaned in pain as he tried to remain upright on his knees.
Repeat after me. I will catch the Outlander.
I will catch the Outlander.
Baron Fox touched the prod to Grunwald's hip. Grunwald's torso jerked sideways as all the muscles on his right side contracted. Then, as Grunwald lay on the ground struggling to catch his breath, the Baron touched the prod to his thigh and watched the Sect Chief's leg twitch and convulse with electricity. The office smelled of ozone and burning flesh.
Say it again. Louder this time, and with conviction.
When Clarissa reached the entrance to the part of the hydroelectric tunnel she called home, there were still several muties waiting outside. They seemed happy to see her, and even happier still when she opened up a bag of leftover fish and uneaten scraps for them. Shiva appeared behind them.
Shiva, once you and the others finish eating, gather the tribe.
Serious?
Yes. Triple big serious.
Shiva then mumbled something to the other muties. They seemed to respond well to her words, but Clarissa decided they needed to be even more excited about what was going to happen.
Tonight, all you can eat. Tell them.
That did the trick. Shiva had the muties clean up the fish scraps, then scramble away to gather the tribe. For the first time in many years, Shiva felt a sense of accomplishment. She was finally going to be able to do what she was programmed to do, fight. Before they began their invasion, she communed with the muties, making them understand the importance of attacking Fox Farm. She had an affinity for the creatures, for having rescued her so long ago. They were simple-minded beings, true children of Skydark, and relatively easy to manipulate to carry out her wishes. although starvation was also a good enough motive for the muties to rally together for an attack without her having to egg them on. Curiously, Shiva was able to sense another mutie presence nearby, but it wasn't from any of the canine creatures. Surprisingly enough, it was coming from the woman designated as Christy Roth, one of the Outlanders. Christy Roth was a mutie. Shiva so wanted to perform an information download on her, but as with Doc Tanner and the others, she was never in a position to do so without being exposed. And now would be an especially bad time to do so, right in the middle of planning an invasion of Fox Farm. So she resigned herself to her continued contact with the muties. Eventually, once she was done, she would probably enter the villain disguise to perform much-needed reconnaissance before the attack. But she wasn't hopeful that she'd find anyone there worthy of knowledge transfer. Not like the Outlanders. These strangers were amazing indeed. Sekhmand Cauterer walked the fence to the west and north of the main building. Along with the other Sekhmen in his squad, he'd been walking the orchards all morning, searching them tree by tree for the one-eyed Outlander. But as thorough as their search had been, there'd been no sign of him. It was as if he'd simply vanished into the misty morning air. Grundwald was feeling the heat from the Baron over it, too, and Cauterer hoped they found the Outlander soon. If they didn't, then the Sek chief would be chilled, enslaved, or sold off at auction, and who knew which one of the Sekhmen would take over. One thing was for sure, anyone who desperately wanted the job wouldn't be right for it. Anyone good enough for the position knew enough about the Baron not to want it. For a moment, Cauterer thought of putting his name in for consideration, but then he thought of the fate of Grundwald hanging on the search for this one man, and thought it better just to be an ordinary Sekhman for a little while longer. The jack wasn't all that much, but the food was good. It wasn't all that tough a job, and he could rot as often as he liked with the skags in the Sekhman's lounge. It wasn't a bad life, all things considered. Cauterer felt a sharp burning pain in his right leg. He looked down and saw a piece of metal embedded in the muscle of his thigh. Shouting in pain, he dropped his blaster and tore open his pant leg to get a good look at his wound. A leaf-bladed knife protruded from his flesh. Where in the rad-blasted Deathlands had it come from? Cauterer wondered. No one was in sight. Maybe he'd been caught flat-footed by the one-eyed Outlander, sneaking up on him from a stand of trees, stabbing him in the leg and retreating again, as invisible as the wind. The blood was running freely down his leg now, and he was beginning to feel weak. Fillinger came up behind him and grabbed Cauterer's shoulders to steady him.
What's wrong?
I've been stabbed!
Where? By who?
In the leg! By the Outlander!
We'd better get you to the nursery. The healer there's pretty good with wounds. She'll fix you up.
Fillinger summoned a few nearby Sekhmen to take Cauterer away. Then he moved a couple of squads from the east side of the farm to the west. They'd be sure to find the Outlander now. Dean lay close to the ground next to Jack, about 20 yards from the fence surrounding the farm.
How can you be sure they'll know that's the sign?
Knife. No leaf blade.
I still can't believe you got the knife through the fence and hit the Sekhman in the leg.
Good throw.
But the gap in the fencing couldn't have been more than 6 inches across.
Was enough.
They remained behind long enough to see the Sekhman being taken away, and then started back to the wag so they could make a report to J.B.
Mildred?
Christy entered the nursery, but Mildred was nowhere to be seen. She went back out into the hall and noticed the door across the hallway was open. It was the door to the armory. She approached the door cautiously, sensing something was amiss. Then the door suddenly sprung open, and Christy found herself at the wrong end of a Czech-built ZKR 38 caliber target pistol aimed directly at her head by one Mildred Wyeth.
Don't shoot him on your side!
Without a word, Mildred pulled Christy into the armory and loaded her up with several boxes of ammunition.
Bring them into the nursery. What about our weapons?
Mildred removed the tape covering the lock on the door, then closed and locked the door to the armory behind her.
I've already got all our blasters back.
Where are they?
Safe in the nursery until we need them.
Just then, there was a commotion on the stairs. Two Sekhmen were carrying another who was bleeding badly from a wound on his leg. Christy dumped the ammo boxes into an empty bassinet and covered them with a blanket.
Bring him to the table over there, you two.
They carried the wounded man, now unconscious, and lifted him on the table.
He was stabbed by the one-eyed Outlander. You better be able to save him.
Mildred ignored the threat and set to work, motioning for Christy to stay in order to give her a hand.
Hey, I don't think so.
She knows how to prepare field dressings and clean wounds. Your friend can live with her helping me, or take his chances with me working alone.